Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, we're going to start reading in verse 31. Luke chapter 7, verse number 31. And the Lord said, "Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace, and calling one to another, and saying, 'We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath the devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children.'" Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you for the health and strength, the ability to be able to get up and come to church. Thank you for the means to get here. Thank you, Lord, for this place that we have to come. Lord, I know we're not perfect, never have been, we never will be. But I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for these people. I'm thankful for what they mean to me, to my family, to so many others. And I thank you for all that you've done and continue to do here in this church. We pray, God, that you'd help us to move forward always for your glory and your honor. Lord, I pray that this morning we'd all have ears to hear what you have for us. Help us to have hearts to receive it. Lord, help us not to be stubborn. Help us not to be pig-headed and rebellious. Help us, Lord, not to harden our hearts as in the provocation. Help us, Lord, where we're wrong, to admit that we're wrong. And help us, Lord, to confess it for what it is, sin. Help us to seek your forgiveness and try to move on and do as you would have us to do. We thank you so much for loving us enough to come into this world and die on the cross for our sins, that we could have eternal life as a free gift. Thank you for everything you do for us. Please help me now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title for the message today is an expression that I have heard used on numerous occasions throughout my life. And to be perfectly honest with you, I've wrestled a little bit with whether or not I should use this title, because I realize we live in a day and time where people are very sensitive, and some folk are easily offended. So I kind of wrestled with it and decided I'd just go on and use it anyway. The title for the message is "Damned If You Do and Damned If You Don't." Now, let me say real quickly, because I can see already some of you is a little touchy, you know. Although you probably listened to a lot worse than that on TV last night before you got here. Let me say real quickly, just to ease any concern you have, that when I use that word that some people are bothered by, I'm not using it as a cuss word. I'm using it as it's used in the Word of God. For example, the Scripture says, "How shall ye escape the damnation of hell?" That's what the Bible says. How shall ye escape the damnation of hell? And the word "damned" actually means to be judged guilty or condemned. That's what the word means. To be judged guilty or condemned. In other words, it's a negative word. It's a word of judgment and condemnation. And whenever I use this expression, and when most other people use the expression, what we mean is that some people, and I'm sure all of us know somebody like this, but some people are going to look negatively on everything we do. They're going to judge and condemn every single move we make, and nothing that we ever do, no matter how hard we try, is going to be viewed in a positive way in their eyes. That's just how it is with some people. And that's what I'm going to deal with in the message today. And there's really three things that I'm going to talk about regarding this principle. The first thing that I want to talk about this morning is what I call the reality of this principle. The reality of this principle. What I just described to you is reality. That's how it is in life. Now, it's not fair, would you agree? It's not fair and it's not right, but that's reality. That's just the way some people are. No matter what we do, in their eyes, we will always 100% of the time be wrong. That's just how it is. And I see this principle described right here in the Word of God. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ recorded in the verses we just read prove the reality of this principle. Take a look once again at what the Lord says here. Verse 31, the Lord asks a couple of questions. He says, "Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like?" If I were going to liken them to something, what would it be? How would I describe the men of this generation? What would be a good illustration is what the Lord is asking. And then he answers his own questions there in verse 32 and 33 and 34. But look at verse 32. They, he says, these men of this generation, are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, "We have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you and ye have not wept." Now verse 32 is an illustration that the Lord is giving to describe the men of that generation. He says, "You're like children," or "they are like children sitting in the marketplace and they're calling out to people as they're coming by, to their fellows," is what it says in Matthew's account of this same story. And he says, they call out one to another and say, "We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced." When he says, "We have piped unto you," the idea is we've done something that should bring about joy, should bring about happiness, that should cause you to want to dance, but even though that's what we did, you didn't dance. So we piped unto you. We did something positive, something that was upbeat, something that should have made you feel good, but we didn't get the response we were looking for. You didn't dance. And then he says that they say, "We have mourned to you." And we generally think of mourning as something that's negative, right? Something that has to do with sorrow and grief, with people crying, as you see in the text here. He says, they say, "We have mourned to you and ye have not wept." So they did something positive to try to make them happy, to get them to dance, but they didn't dance. So they decided, well, that didn't work. We'll try something different. If they don't want to be happy and they don't want to dance, maybe they want to be sad. Maybe they want to cry. So we'll mourn to the people. We'll do something that would cause them to weep. But the Bible says, "Ye have not wept." It didn't matter what they did. You see that? Even though they did something that should have brought about happiness, it didn't bring happiness. Something that should have brought about sorrow, it didn't bring about sorrow. It did not elicit the response they desired. They could not get that response no matter what they did. That's the illustration Jesus gives. And then look at how he makes application to his illustration in verses 33 and 34. He says, "For." The word "for" is a conjunction. In this instance, it means "because." So he says, "For." In other words, this is why I give you this description of the men of this generation. This is why I say they're like those sitting in the marketplace calling one to another and saying the things that they did. This is why I give you that illustration. Number one, because John the Baptist came, and most of us are at least somewhat familiar with John the Baptist. And certainly he was quite the character as he's described in the Bible. There's no doubt about it. And he says John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. What is he talking about? He's talking about how John the Baptist fasted. He doesn't mean that he never ate anything or never drank anything, because you can't live for an extended period of time without eating and drinking something, okay? So that's not the idea. The idea is that when John the Baptist showed up, fasting was something that he did on a regular occasion. He did it very often. That's something John did. And what did the people of that generation say about John the Baptist? Look at it, verse 33. And ye say, he hath the devil. So he shows up fasting, which is a biblical thing. It's a godly thing. It's something that I believe all Christians should do from time to time in their lives, no doubt about it. But that's what John the Baptist showed up doing. He showed up fasting, and instead of the people responding in a positive way toward what he did, they looked at John and said, you got a devil in you. Okay, that's how they reacted to John. Well, then somebody else shows up. As you know, John the Baptist was just the forerunner of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So John comes on the scene first, and he announces the arrival of the Lamb of God and tells people about the Lord Jesus Christ and tries to direct their attention toward him. And here's Jesus, and he comes doing a little bit different than John did. Not wrong, just different. Which, by the way, just because somebody does things different than you doesn't mean that they're wrong. Have you ever met those kind of people whose mindset is, this is how we've always done it, this is the way I've done it, my family's done it, my church has done it, and if you don't do it this way, then you're wrong? You ever met them kind of people? I grew up around them kind of people. I don't have a lot of patience for them kind of people. Just because somebody does something different doesn't mean they're doing wrong. They might just be doing it different than the way you've done it. And you know what I learned? Their way may be better than my way. But see, when you're narrow-minded and you're closed-minded and you won't look at what other people are doing and try to learn and grow, when you get to that point where you think you know everything, then you can't develop, and you don't ever see that what somebody else is doing might very well be better than the way you've done it your whole entire life. But that's how it is, friends. Sometimes they're just doing it different, and it's better. When the Lord Jesus Christ showed up, he was doing it different. John shows up, he's doing a lot of fasting. They say he's got a devil. So Jesus shows up, verse 34, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. He does just the opposite of what John did, not doing wrong, just different. It was different circumstances for the Lord Jesus Christ. So he comes eating and drinking with his disciples and with others. If you read his life, you see he would go into the homes of people and he'd sit down to a meal with them and just enjoy the fellowship. That's just kind of how it was. And how did they respond toward Jesus? And ye say, behold, a gluttonous man. Number one, a gluttonous man, because he's eating and drinking. So he's just a glutton, you know. And a wine bibber. He's a sot. He's just a drunkard, just drinking all the time. So they look at John, who's fasting, and they say he's got a devil. Well, somebody shows up who's doing it just the opposite of how John was doing it, and they say, that fella's got a big belly, which is probably the result of a beer gut and all the eating he's doing. He's a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. You see what I'm saying? Here it is. Now, just be careful. I'm going to give it to you. It's damned if you do and damned if you don't. That's what it is. That's the way it was with the men of this generation. It didn't matter what these people did. The way John did it was wrong. Jesus shows up, he's doing it different, but with them, he's still wrong. It didn't matter what they did. In their mind, these people were wrong. That is reality, okay? The reality of this principle. We see it in life. We see it in the Bible with some people. You probably know this already. With some people, you're going to always be wrong. No matter how hard you try to make them happy, no matter how hard you try to do something to please them or to show them that you're not as crazy as they might think you are. I mean, you adjust things. I know I've done it in my life, and I'm not talking about adjusting in a sense of compromising, because that's never right, as we're going to talk about in a little bit. But I have tried to adjust things in my life when I realized that I was being offensive to somebody. Maybe it was an area where I could adjust without compromising, so I would adjust to try to make that person happy. And you know what I found out after rearranging my life and trying to do it different to make them happy? What I realized is I still didn't make them happy.
It didn't matter what I did. And I had to come to grips with the fact that I could live 1,000 years and change everything in my life, and with that person or those people, I would never be right. That's reality. That's just how it is. You can live for God. People look at you like you're crazy and call you a holy roller and all them other names. He's too extreme. He's going too far with his Christianity. And then you can back off and quit, and they'll say, well, I knew he wasn't real. I knew he wasn't going to stick with it. He was a phony from the start. Hey, that's how people are, isn't it? You can get in church, get involved in a church, you know, and start helping out. He's trying to take over. She's trying to run the show. And then when you back off, don't do nothing. Can't get nobody to do nothing around here. I have to do it all. Am I telling you the truth? I can preach, you know, and try to preach something kind of easy, you know, not be too hard on when he's just trying to make everybody happy, and then I preach a rough message next Sunday. He's too hard. He don't need to preach hard. He's running people off, you know. I'm telling you, I've heard it, folks. I've listened to it. That's just how it is. You can adjust. You can rearrange. You can try to make it where you please everybody. It ain't going to happen. You're not going to please everybody, and there's certain people in life, I don't care what you do with them, you'll always be wrong. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Just how it is. That's reality. And it's a sad reality. It's not fair for people to treat us that way. Let me say something to you. Just in case you're guilty of what we're talking about, it's not fair of you to treat somebody that way either. We want people to be merciful with us. We want people to be gracious and understanding and forgiving and all that stuff. But then with some people, we are very critical and condemning toward them. And no matter what they do, I'm telling you, folks, I have gone out of my way with some people. Even when I didn't necessarily think that I had done wrong, I have gone out of my way. I've made calls. I've made visits. I've sat down with them and tried every way I could to get this person to understand that I'm not like they think I am. But at the end of the day, it didn't work. It's just how it is. That's reality. Now, here's the second thing that I want to talk about. The reality of this principle, number two, the reasons for this principle. Why is it? Why are people like that? Why is it that with some people, we'll always be wrong? Why is it that with some people in your life, you'll always be wrong? Why is it that way with me? I began to think about this, and I think I have a few reasons why some people are this way, why a lot of people are this way. Number one, I figure some people are this way because they just don't like me. Let me ask y'all a question. Have you ever met somebody or found out about somebody who didn't like you and they really didn't even know you? They just didn't like you. Maybe they heard what somebody else said, because there's always somebody talking. You know what I mean? I hope you are not delusional this morning. I hope you don't think when everybody's talking about you that everybody's saying good things about you. Because there's somebody somewhere that don't like you and they talking about you. You may not know it, but they saying stuff behind your back. And here is how some people are, because they don't have any integrity. You hear what I'm saying? They'll listen to what somebody says about you and will form the same opinion that that person has about you and never even know you. That's the way some people are. Some people just don't like you. But it's not because you've necessarily done anything to them. They've just heard what somebody else said. And because they don't have enough integrity to come meet you and talk to you, they develop a negative opinion about you and they feel bad toward you. So everything you do in their eyes will always be wrong, not because they know you, but because of what somebody said about you. That's how some people are. Which, by the way, again, if you're guilty, that's a lousy, sorry way to be. It's a terrible way to be. You shouldn't judge and condemn somebody you've never met. Amen. I thought it was innocent till proven guilty. Not just because somebody said I was guilty, proven guilty. Till you can prove it, you'll not accept it, have a bad attitude. Sometimes people don't like us because
We offend them. We say or do something that offends them. Sometimes it's just because they look at us and they just don't like us. I've actually had people tell me that before. I don't like him. Well, why don't you like him? I just don't like the way he looks. Y'all ever heard that before? I just don't like his personality. He's too chipper. What would you like me to do? Walk around crying all the time? I guarantee if I did, you still wouldn't be happy. That's the way some people are. I have people right now, I'm telling you, God is my witness. I got people right now that do not like me. They've never had a conversation with me, ever. They've listened to what somebody said about me, supposedly what I believe, what I preach, what I stand for and all that. What somebody said, and in case you hadn't figured it out, if somebody doesn't like you and they're telling the story, they're going to always slant it in a negative way. They're always going to say something negative and bring it around in a way that's bad. And a lot of it may not even be true, but I have people right now that won't even speak to me, won't even hardly acknowledge that I exist. And I, to my knowledge, have never had a conversation with that person in my life. They just simply don't like me because of what somebody said. And I realize that no matter what I do, that's just the way it's going to be. They'll never feel any different. Sometimes people are like this because they're jealous. You wonder why you can't make some people happy no matter what you do? Some people are jealous of you. How about these Pharisees right here who were this way toward Jesus and toward John the Baptist? You know one of the main reasons why they were so upset with John and why they were so upset with Jesus and why they wound up lying about him and handing him over to be crucified? You know why they were that way? One of the main reasons why nothing they did would ever be good enough for them? You know why? Jealousy, envy in their heart. Because before John and Jesus shows up, these Pharisees have got the people under their thumb. And they're viewed as the religious and spiritual authorities of the day. And all of the people, whenever they want to get in touch with God, they're coming to the Pharisees. They're talking to them. They're getting their counsel and their wisdom and their instruction and all of that from the Pharisees. And if you've ever read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, you know that's what the Pharisees liked. They liked those uppermost seats in the feast. That's why they wore their big, long, flowing robes and did all the things they do, because they liked to get the praise of man. They wanted man's attention. They wanted to be up on that pedestal, and that's kind of how it was until old John walked up out of the wilderness. You know what happened when John walked up out of the wilderness? A lot of those people realized how phony those Pharisees were, and they decided, hey, I ain't going with that bunch no more. I'm going to go down there and see old John, listen to what he's got to say. And then when John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, even more left those Pharisees and said, hey, we're going to go over here and see what this fellow's got going on, talking about Jesus. They left the Pharisees kind of behind, and they started going to John as long as he was there. And then when he was gone and out of the picture, many of them were going to Jesus, and they were saying things like, man, he doeth all things well. Never have we heard a man speak like this before. And don't you know that just jumped all up in the craw of them Pharisees? All this time they think we're the authorities, we're the best around. And then this fella shows up and starts preaching and saying things. And the people say, we've never heard anybody talk like that before. And in their mind they thought nobody could talk as good as them. They thought they were the authority. We got it all going on. So Jesus shows up. John shows up, the people turn away. You know what caused them to respond the way they did? Jealousy. That's why some people are the way they are toward you. They're just jealous. Just jealous. I tell you another reason. Some people are like this because they want what you have. You got a position they want. And they figure if they can continually condemn you, no matter what you do, sooner or later they'll develop a following. You know what I mean? Develop a following, and there'll be more people that'll join their cause, and they'll get you out of the picture, and they can take over what it is they desire that you have. That's why some people are that way. I went to a church one time, been many years ago now. There's a fellow living close by. He was the one who had started the church. He had been the pastor there for a long, long time. Had some situations happen with his family and had some health issues. He resigned. And he didn't leave. He just resigned the church. He lived next door. And he still came to the church. Well, I was very young in the ministry, and pulpit committee met with me, and we talked about it, and I decided to accept the church. That was one of those decisions, looking back now, that maybe I should have prayed about a little longer. Because it wasn't very long after I got there before this particular man started coming, you know, listening. And he would write out this newsletter every week or every few weeks and send it out to people. And he made sure I got a copy of it. I got to noticing that every single time he sent out his newsletter, what he wrote about was a sermon I had just preached. And it didn't matter what I preached, if it was positive or it was negative, it didn't matter what I preached, he always found something wrong with it, and he was sure to bring it out in big, bold type, what I had said that I shouldn't have said, what I believed that I shouldn't believe, and he sent it out to all these people, including the people that were members of my church. See? Do you know what he wanted? His family situations had gotten resolved. His health had gotten better. And he had been telling some people that he was ready to take the church back. So it didn't matter what Brother Keith did. It was going to always be wrong, because you know what he wanted. He wanted Brother Keith to be gone so he could come back and take over the church again. That's what he desired. What I'm telling you is sometimes you got something that somebody wants. And so no matter what you do, I don't care what you do, you'll always be wrong, because if they continue to condemn you, they think they can get some people that will agree with them and get you out of the picture, and then they'll be able to get what it is they desire. That's why some people are like this. And I'm going to give you one other reason. I got to move on. I'll tell you another reason why people are like this, because they're just rebellious. Just rebellious in their heart. There's some people that are not doing right, and they know they're not doing right. And perhaps at some point in time, you have confronted them about the fact that they're not doing right. And instead of them saying, you know, you're right, and I'm wrong, and I need to get this thing straightened out in my life, instead of doing that, they take a different course of action. And they begin to become critical of you and condemn you for everything, because that way they can keep the attention off of themselves, and they don't have to feel so bad about what ain't right in their own lives. See, if I can just direct the attention toward this person, he's doing this, he's doing that, she's doing this, she's doing that, then nobody will recognize the fact that I'm not doing right in my own heart and life. Y'all following what I'm saying? They're just stubborn and rebellion in their heart. They have no intentions, at least at this point in their life, of getting anything straight with God. So to soothe their conscience and to keep people from focusing on them, they start shooting things at other people. You know, the thing that amazes me with folk is how harsh and critical we are with folk when we have things just as bad or even worse in our own lives. That is amazing to me. That we can be so critical of others and condemn people. And sometimes what we're saying isn't even true. It's not even right. But we find so many things wrong with them. All these faults, these failures. They're wrong about all this stuff. And we know deep in our heart that we're not where we need to be with God. To me, that's the epitome of hypocrisy. When you're so judging and condemning of other people, and you got something just as bad or worse in your own heart and life. And that's where a lot of people are at right now. They're in rebellion. They're not doing right. That's like what I said when I started the message about the word that bothers everybody. It's amazing to people. I can't believe he used a title like that. They'll go home this afternoon and watch a soap opera or something like that on TV. You know what I'm saying? He ought not say a word like that in church, and then they cuss all week long. You dirty hypocrite. I'm going to call you what you are now. Like it or lump it. You can do whatever you will with it. But that's just a bunch of mess. And that's how a lot of people are right now in their life. They're so critical and condemning. Nothing that certain people do will ever be right, irregardless of all the good they've ever done. And they know they've done good,
now nothing they ever do is right. And you know why it's like that? Because a lot of them, their heart is full of rebellion. They know they're not right. So to put the focus on somebody else, they criticize every move they make. Now here's the last thing, and I'll be done. The reality of this principle. The reasons for this principle. Number three, the response to this principle. How am I to respond when it's like that? When somebody is just against me and nothing I ever do is right, which is how it is for all of us from time to time, how do I react to that? How do I respond? What is the right way to respond towards somebody who treats me that way? Well, I'm going to say first and foremost, you need to respond by just continuing to do what is right. Just do what's right. Because here's the thing. If you stop doing what's right because you want to make them happy, it ain't going to work, because it's damned if you do and damned if you don't. So if you stop doing it and you just say, well, I quit. I ain't going to serve God no more. I'm not going to do right. I'm just going to stop because they're bothered by it. Here is reality. If you stop doing right, they're still not going to approve of you. And at the end of the day, the one that matters is not the critic, but the Lord. That's the one that matters. You do right. Don't let somebody, I've had people say, well, you know, Brother Keith, so-and-so saying this, so-and-so, I'm just going to quit. I ain't going to do it no more. Don't do that. That's what the devil wants you to do. The devil's just trying to use somebody else to discourage you, to keep you from doing what's right. You just keep on doing what's right. The Lord will reward you. I think about Jesus and John the Baptist. Here's these people, they're criticizing John the Baptist. Did John the Baptist stop doing what was right? Not on your life. All these critics saying he's just got a devil, he's got a devil. You know what he did? He just kept right on preaching. Just telling the truth. Jesus shows up and he's a gluttonous man, he's a wine bibber. You didn't see Jesus, oh, I can't believe they're talking about me like that. I ain't going to do it no more. No. Jesus just kept right on firing down, just kept right on face set like a flint to Jerusalem, just going for God, doing the will of his Father. He just kept on in spite of what people said about him. You just keep on. Do not allow the devil to discourage you so that you quit because of somebody who's not happy with the life you're living. You just keep on being faithful to God. Number two, this is it. How do you respond to somebody who finds fault with everything you do? Number two, you do everything that you do for the glory of God. Just do it for him. That's why we ought to do it, right? I mean, Paul said, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. If you don't get to the place in your life where you do everything that you do just to please him and for his glory, I can promise you, you're going to get your feelings hurt. I can promise you, you're going to get let down. You're going to get disappointed. Because if you do it for somebody, if that's your reason, I'm doing it because I want to make them happy. Hey, some folks you'll never make happy. Don't care what you do. Some of you ladies live with one, don't you? Some of you men live with one, don't you? Well, it got quiet in here, didn't it? Must have touched on a little something there. Yeah. Seriously. If you do it, just go in your mind, you're saying, well, I'm going to do this because it'll make them happy. You're going to be disappointed. A lot of times, you're going to be disappointed. But listen to me. If you do whatever it is you do, 100% of the time, for his glory, you'll never be disappointed. Because it won't matter to you what people think. It will not matter what they say. It will not matter what they do. You'll be able to pillow your head at night and sleep knowing that you've made the only one that really matters happy, and that's the Lord. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Lord, I pray that you would take the message, you'd use it, Lord, as you see fit, as only you can.
And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.